You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
There's a certain limp I have today, like the rest of Jets Nation, because the football gods just won't stop kicking us in the nards.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It's tough to see because there's no chance on this planet that Aaron Rodgers should come back this year.
Today's guests, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, ATP Tour player and Tennis Channel analyst Nick Kyrgios, Pro Football Hall of Famer Barry Sanders. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
It's time for another edition of the Rich Eisen Show right here on the Roku channel. And it's also right here on your radio dial, if you have such a thing. Also, Sirius XM, Terrestrial, and Odyssey, and so much more. And for those listening, and those on the Roku channel can see, it's a Tan Tuesday. I'm wearing one of those zip-ups that's tan, and it's an honor of two guys wearing gold jackets today. Kurt Warner in 20 minutes, Barry Sanders in hour number three. How does that suit you? Hopefully it's good because I'm not changing.
I'm in.
This is what I got.
I'm not changing.
Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Rich, I'm great. What's up?
I'm good. Nick Kyrgios is coming in studio in hour number two. He is a tennis player of note, and there's lots to talk about with him as he's strolling into these studios. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. What's going on? How are you?
I'm going to wear gold, but there are any gold sunglasses, blenders.
Now, you had no idea that I was going to say that to start the show. So that's just you being, it's just you just pivoting.
I have props.
Wow.
That's the stuff from Dion.
Unbelievable, Mike.
Good to see you over there, TJ. How are you, brother? How are you, sir?
How you doing today?
Candles lit.
The candle smells like chocolate chip cookies in this piece.
I'm just wondering how you're doing as a Dallas Cowboy fan, knowing that the Philadelphia Eagles are the class of the National Football League officially.
Yeah. Well, it makes me want to vomit. I got to be honest. Am I happy with it?
Thanks for shooting
us
up. Thanks for shooting us straight.
Yeah, I love the honesty.
It bothers me, Rich. Okay.
Guess what? That's what was decided last night. Who's the class of the National Football League? With all due respect to the San Francisco 49ers and the Detroit Lions, we started Monday's show by saying they are in the mix for the one seed, and they still are. And also, with all due respect to the 8-win, still the only 8-win team in the AFC, Baltimore Ravens, and also the Dolphins, and anyone else that has Super Bowl aspirations this year, and there's a ton of teams in that regard. But the Philadelphia Eagles against the Kansas City Chiefs last night, a repeat of the Super Bowl, a rematch of the Super Bowl. And it was kind of a repeat. One team led by 10 points at the half and lost the game. And that's what happened last year in Arizona. The Eagles were the team that was up by 10 and they lost. And last night, the Kansas City Chiefs was up by 10 at the half and lost at home in the rain in a sloppy game. And the Chiefs were the ones who came out and dominated the trenches in the line of the scrimmage in the first half. They had over 120 yards rushing. DeAndre Swift had one more rush yard at halftime than Jalen Hurts had passing yards. Only one catch for 8 yards for A.J. Brown in the first half, and that was the entirety of his output for the night.
Killing me.
And that's exactly what you want to do if you're taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Pick off Hurts. That's what the Chiefs did in the first half. Sack him 5 times. That's what the Chiefs did in the first half. Let DeAndre Swift get some yards, but have them empty calories. That's what the Chiefs did in the first half. Make sure A.J. Brown doesn't catch the ball. And the Philadelphia Eagles came out of halftime and took more licks from the Chiefs in the third quarter, but kept the Chiefs off the board in the third quarter, and that has become a disturbing trend for the Kansas City Chiefs, who were held scoreless for the third straight time in the second half. That's not supposed to happen to an Andy Reid, Kansas City Chiefs offense, a Mahomes quarterbacked offense, certainly coming off a bye week, which is Andy Reid's strength. And the Eagles kept on ticking. and they scored a touchdown to make it a 3-point game. And they turned over Mahomes twice. They turned over the Chiefs twice in the second half, in the red zone twice. Once in the first half, picked off Mahomes, and in the second half, Travis Kelce knocked the ball loose, a little Peanut Tillman punch. And the Eagles got the ball back midway in the fourth quarter in front of everybody in Arrowhead and drove the ball down the field. And Hurts, who couldn't get anything going in the first three quarters, goes up top to Devontae Smith down to the one-yard line. You know what's going to happen from there.
Oh, yeah.
The brotherly shove. And we heard from Chris Jones saying, I'm talking to people who play rugby for a living to try and figure out how to stop this thing. And the Eagles are like, okay, that's good to know.
Cool.
Two times it worked last night for Hurts to score. Two. And the Eagles just keep on doing what they do, which is not caring how it looks. I'm looking in the standings. They're 9-1 for the fifth time since 1966, right? Mm. There you go. And they are off to a remarkable start. And it's not pretty. And I looked at the standings this morning. You can look at them however you wish to look at them. There's no pictures on it. And they needed to win this game because there's the Lions sitting there at 8-2. And there's the San Francisco 49ers sitting there at 7-3. And the Lions have already beaten the Chiefs and a major tiebreak in the order of things in the NFL. It's third up after head-to-head and division record. If you are a tiebreak in the division record, it's record against common opponents. And the Lions have already beaten the Chiefs, and the Eagles could have lost to the Chiefs, and uh-oh, here we go. But instead, man, they just come at you. Fletcher Cox, Jalen Carter, what a madman. Trying to pick off a spike.
That's the craziest.
And getting called
thing ever.
For an offsides because he jumped the. I mean, and he almost damn near. I mean, I wish he had picked it off. Just have, how many interceptions are waved off due to an offsides? Many of them. Mm-hmm. How about an interception waved off to an offsides because it was a spiked ball? I've never seen that before in my life.
Do you know he said he saw high school kids on YouTube doing
that? Why not? That's where he saw it. Unbelievable.
Fletcher Cox, Jordan Davis, Kevin Byard, first quarter, gets burned in the back of an end zone. Fool him once. Shame on him. And then fool him twice. Shame on you, if that's the phrase. He picked off Mahomes in the end zone.
We can't get fooled again, Rich.
They did not get fooled again.
Shame on me.
And by the way, I mean, go ahead. Keep hitting him. They're not going anywhere.
Nah.
What a big-time Stones W for the Philadelphia Eagles. Certainly slaying their Reed Chiefs dragon. They'd never beaten Andy Reid. They were 0-4 against their former coach when they played him in Kansas City Red. And now there they are, 9-1. Good for them. Here is Nick Sirianni after the game about the message he delivered to his team.
The message was just, how are we going to do this? How are we going to come into a hostile environment, win a game on the road, a regular season game on the road against a really outstanding, against really outstanding players and really outstanding coaches? The only way to do that, we can't do that alone. We got to do that together. And that was the message. That was the message that we had all week is how, play together. And, man, and it really, you know, it really showed itself tonight how together we were. Again, because that was just a gritty grind. Whoever was going to win that game was going to win it gritty, grimy. It wasn't pretty any on either side, right? And whoever was going to win that game was going to do it gritty, grimy, nasty, what are those adjectives? Yeah, okay, thanks. I went to Mount Union, but it is a good school. But, you know, it was going to be that way. And the guys just stayed together and kept fighting and kept grinding it out. And, you know, we were able to come out on top.
And it's a good point about sticking together because A.J. Brown at one point is got to be like, I've got two targets. It's halftime. I've got one
exactly.
pass.
Yep.
And then they come out for the first series in the second half and they run it twice and then have a 3rd-and-7 quarterback draw called up and that gets snuffed out. And at one point in the first half, great shot from the ESPN crew of Hurts changing a play and Kelsey looking over his left shoulder and shaking his head. No, we're going this way.
Right, we're going
and
that
then
way.
They went that way, and Kelsey road graded for the first down for Hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, quarterback could come off, and the center could look at the quarterback and go, you know, what are you doing?
Do you think that was by design? That's kind of what Troy said during the broadcast.
Who knows? Like, it's Philadelphia. It's they're the perfect personification of the town. Just like, I don't care what you think. I know better.
Right.
Go follow me. You know? And then they could be bickering with one another. Absolutely could.
Yeah.
Well, they did at one point.
Well, and they were at one point, right? And so.
And it worked out for them.
But that's this team. And woe to you. Every single time you watch them, you think they're done. They're toast. Not after this game. Now, they're going to have to prove it again. Next up for them, Buffalo Bills at home and also the San Francisco 49ers at home before they visit Dallas. Rubber meeting the road now, baby. Here we go. And then they're at Seattle. Things soften up with the Giants 2 out of 3 times wrapped around a home date from Arizona on New Year's Eve. I mean, but the next 3-4 weeks, rubber's meeting the road. We'll test it again. But, I mean, what a big-time W last night. What a stones. Put it all out there on the table win for the Philadelphia Eagles. You got to give it up to them. We'll talk Kansas City Chiefs later on. State of the Union in the Keystone State. So you got the Eagles on the eastern side doing what they did in Kansas City last night. And then the writing on the wall for Matt Canada that's been in large block letters from the fan base for a couple of years, now finally spelled Red Rum when you held up a mirror to it. And guess what? Bounced. Fired as the offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers, according to Jerry Dulac, who covers a team there in the great city of Pittsburgh. The code red ordered by Art Rooney II from ownership, which is an interesting choice.
Seen enough.
And you know, hey, it's interesting that ownership through this report puts its stamp on things because it is, according to a report I saw on ESPN.com, it does appear this is the first time the Pittsburgh Steelers have made a coaching or coordinator change midseason since 1941.
Oh, jeez.
Been a long time. How is that possible?
1941.
I'm going to have to look to see who this
is. Is the last time.
It was the guy that got fired.
Because I have fired.
That is the last time.
That's unbelievable.
It happened. I saw that report on the Worldwide Leader in Sports. Here, I'll read it for you. So you know they mean business when it finally happened. The Steelers had 3 head coaches that season. Burt Bell, who was the half owner of the team, went 0-2. Aldo Danelli went 0-5. And Walt Kiesling, good for him. He went 1-2-1.
So
that's the last time.
Burt Bell was part owner. Did he fire himself?
I guess, and then became commissioner? I don't know. Good stuff. It's a different time.
Wow.
He realized different he was time. A little over his head. So.
When the product was better, according to Tom Brady. We'll talk about that later on.
Yeah, maybe.
And so, you know, hey, listen, can you blame them? Because they're not switching the quarterback there. That ain't happening. Well, not with the way that Kenny Pickett played at the end of last season and then in the preseason. We were all thinking, this is, here we go, man. Hashtag. You know, Najee Harris and, you know, Jalen Warren and Kenny Pickett to George Pickens and Deontay Johnson. It's not like they're weaponless there.
Freiermuth.
And, you know,
here we go.
And it's been terrible. There's no other way to put it. It's been unwatchable. It's been terrible. Some of their wins is because the fourth quarter is Pickett time. He'll just start making plays and first downs. And maybe it's because Matt Canada was calling the game differently. I don't know. Check a burner account if that actually happened or not. But I think Najee Harris telling the media after the game, hey, you know, being asked the question if, you know, other teams knew what plays were coming. In other words, is the offense predictable? And it took him 10 Mississippi to give the answer to the question with an around 6 Mississippi.
He was really thinking.
If I'm the owner, I'm thinking, okay, let's get Coach Tomlin in here and have this very difficult conversation because you know he doesn't want to be the first head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers to make a coordinator change since 1941.
Wow.
But desperate times, man. And the desperate measures are Canada out. And it is apparently the quarterback's coach, Mike Sullivan, who's going to take over. So they changed out a Matt for a Mike, and we'll see if the different voice, different set of eyes will at least come up with a win in week one, similar to what we saw in Western New York, Joe Brady taking over the Bills offense and play calling and making a difference. Because you look at the AFC, and there is a whole host of 5-5 teams sitting there in the sniffing it category, including the team that the Steelers, who are currently seventh in the playoff standings, are playing this week. The Bengals at 5-5. You got the Broncos winning 4 in a row, 5-5. You got the Colts coming off a bye, who take on the Steelers in a couple of weeks in Indianapolis at 5-5. You got the Bills sitting there a half game behind at 6-5. The Raiders, who made a change at head coach, and that obviously put some wind in the Raiders' sails, 5-6. If the Chargers wake up, 4-6, and then you got the Jets sitting there, 4-6. And by the way, let me just speak for Jets fans here. So, an offense is brutal to watch. And an offense is, say, like the Steelers, just for instance.
My example.
I have these numbers right here. The Steelers are 28th in points per game.
Yeah.
They're 27th in touchdowns scored, 28th in yards per game, 31st in passing yards per game, with 170, by the way, in this passing league. 170 yards a game.
That's atrocious.
And they're like, that's it. Offensive court. We just need a new set of eyes calling plays.
Yeah.
And the Bills have much better numbers than this. Say, that's it. We need a new set of eyes calling plays. But the Jets, No. The offense for the Jets, the Steelers 28th in points per game at 16.6. Jets are 30th. Touchdowns. Steelers have scored 14 offensive touchdowns. That's 27th in the league. Jets are 32nd. Kids, call that DFL. 28th in yards per game, 280.1 yards per game was the Steelers, who just fired their offensive coordinator. Jets are 30th. Worse. In all three of those categories, they do actually beat the Steelers in passing yards per game.
Hey.
Yeah, the Steelers are 31st. Jets
congrats,
are 30th. You know
congrats.
What? That might have been one of the few passes Lazard didn't drop.
Oh.
So all these things, Zach's the one who eats it. Because we, as Jets fans, are completely done with seeing him. And guess what? The reason why Nathaniel Hackett doesn't eat it is because number 8, who is working his ass off to try and speed bridge his way back across the George Washington Bridge, if he lands in JFK, he probably will, you know, he's probably taking Teterboro. He's probably flying private into Teterboro. Who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? He's not taking any bridges.
No. Come on.
No tunnels for him. He's not bridging tunnel.
No.
No way.
The only bridge is in his foot.
So he goes out during the week.
Come on.
The weekend.
Not even, not even our friend who does the voiceover for Hard Knocks.
Leo Schreiber?
He's a helicopter guy.
Right.
Bottom line is this. They're not firing Nathaniel Hackett because Rodgers refuses that code red to be ordered. I just want to know who is helping with the game plan here internally. Jets won't say. Of course they won't say because that just puts more blood in the water. And there's a ton of it right now in the Hudson River. And so I just wanted to throw that out there, Jets fans. The reason why they're not doing what the Steelers finally did and what the Bills shockingly did is because the quarterback who may return now and definitely we hope will return next year does not want it that way. And I don't believe he would even have to say anything because you know there was that whole thing about there's a list and he doesn't want a list and all of that stuff. So I'm not ascribing that he's pulling any strings. It just goes without saying. Because it's a bunch of problems. It's Zach. It's that offensive line on third, fourth, including fifth stringers, and then receivers who aren't catching. You know? Mm. And including some of the best that they have. So I'm just wanted to throw that out there to Jets fans.
Also, guys, randomly, 1941, gas was 19 cents a gallon.
Thank you very much.
Nice. Well done, TJ. That
yeah,
up,
yeah. You know. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. But congrats to you, Steeler fans. And I feel bad for Matt Canada's family. Could you imagine getting that news 2 days before Thanksgiving?
Oh,
that ain't happy.
See, Rich, why do you got to put it in human
terms?
Because
it's the truth. Because
like
it's the truth,
now,
man.
Now I feel bad.
It is the truth. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Lots of time for phone calls today. Barry Sanders, Hour 3. The tennis player Nick Kyrgios, what a fascinating figure he cuts on the tennis court and in that world. In studio, Hour number 2. But let's take a break. Kurt Warner's next. My Hall of Fame friend, fresh back from calling Eagles Chiefs for Westwood One Radio. That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk Audible, people. Audible lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment all in one app. Titles in every kind, in all categories. Wellness, bestsellers, and new releases, as well as podcasts and originals. And Audible members can keep one title a month from the entire catalog. You keep it. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. You know, I travel a lot, especially during football season. And right now, listening to player memoirs from Audible really helps me relax and pass the time on long flights. With the app, you can listen anywhere as it's all in one spot. Whether I'm on a transatlantic flight or on a long car ride with my family, I just put on an audiobook from Audible and boom. It's so easy to just listen. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Eisen or text Eisen to 500-500. That's audible.com/EISEN or text EISEN to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. All right, folks, let's talk about game time and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So, Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on Game Time in seconds with two taps, and there's a Game Time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Back on our radio network with Kurt Warner. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Kurt, your takeaway from calling Eagles Chiefs on Westwood One Radio on Monday night is what?
Well, I mean, A, that they're both really good football teams. Okay. I think B, I came into it thinking that Philadelphia was the better team and would be able to dominate in the trenches. I left the game not thinking that Kansas City, I thought, outplayed them for the majority of the game and outplayed them in the trenches. They ran the football extremely well, at over 120 yards rushing in the first half, which Philly hadn't given up all year. And Kansas City had that in the first half. You know, their defensive line, I thought, played great. Their defense as a whole played great. So I think I had a better appreciation for who the Chiefs are after last night's game, even though they ended up losing the game, than I did going in. Now, we all understand the issues. We saw the issues specifically at the key moments at the end of the game with their receivers, which has been an issue all year long. And I believe it's affected Patrick Mahomes in the way that he plays. But still, at the same time, you're playing against
arguably the best team in the NFL, the best team in the NFC, and they dominated the game and they should have won the game, in my opinion. So that's probably my biggest takeaway. I think the other thing you realize is that Philly never panics, and they can win a lot of different ways. We talk about it all the time on our show, that they are one of those teams that can win a lot of different ways. So last night, their offense just wasn't clicking. They weren't making big plays. They weren't doing very much, and their defense stepped up and kept them in the game and let them hang around and hang around, knowing that their quarterback and the playmakers on their team were eventually going to make plays. And I think that's the greatest thing about Philly right now, is they're not clicking on all cylinders, but they've got enough ways to hang around in a football game that, and enough playmakers that they will find a way in the end to make the plays that they're supposed to make most of the time.
Of your take right there, Kurt, the one thing that leapt out at me that I wanted dig into a little bit more is you're saying that you think the receiver issues in Kansas City, whether it's route running, whether it's catching the balls that, say, hit them in the hands, is affecting his way of playing. What do you mean by that? What are you seeing?
Well, what I've seen on tape is that, you know, Patrick has been hesitant to throw the ball on time and attack certain throws and reads that I've seen him, you know, make year in and year out since he came into the league, is that he doesn't get enough credit for how he plays inside the pocket, how he plays on schedule, the what he sees on every given play. And there are just a number of times this year where he just doesn't pull the trigger on throws, and I can't figure out why. You know, I can't believe that's because he doesn't see it, because he's looking in the direction. He always sees that sort of stuff. So I have to believe it's hesitation, because he's not sure what's on the other end. He's not sure either what guys are doing. He's not sure that they're going to make the play or what that is, but it's affecting his ability to play the game. And so that's, you know, that becomes a whole nother concern, is that what makes him so good is playing that way and then adding the special of Patrick Mahomes on top of it. If he's just got to be the special, we talk about it all the time, if you just feel like you have to buy time and run around and make a play every single snap, even if you're Patrick Mahomes, it's really hard to live in that world instead of just being able to make the layups and throw what's in front of you and trust the guys to just make the mundane routine plays. And I feel like right now he's going to keep slinging, he's going to keep throwing it to him, but there's, you know, a level of frustration and there's a level of effect that it's having on Patrick and the way he plays the game.
And in terms of Philadelphia, Buffalo and San Francisco at home next before a visit to Dallas on a Sunday night at Seattle over the next month. So there's some tough tests ahead of them. Which team do you think is best equipped? And it could be an AFC team as well. Could it be Baltimore? Could it be Miami if they start clicking on all cylinders? Which team do you think, or it's the team they beat last night, is best equipped to keep the Eagles from the championship podium this year, Kurt?
I'm going to probably say, and again, I always look at Philadelphia, and the first thing that I always think is the trenches. You got to be able to win the line of scrimmage mm-hmm. against them. Just like I talked about Kansas City, why I thought they dominated the game last night was because they won the trenches. And so when I think about that, you know, I think about, you know, two teams, and one in the NFC, San Francisco. That is a team that can win the trenches. They obviously have playmakers and guys that can change the complexion of the game, but they can win the trenches. So I look forward to that game with a healthy Brock Purdy to see how that matchup plays out, because we didn't get to see that in the NFC Championship game last year. But that's one team. And then the other team, and again, I guess I got to say outside of Kansas City, because Kansas City surprised me but showed me that they've got the ability to do that, I would say is Baltimore. You know, Baltimore is another team that can win the line of scrimmage, whether that's in the run game or the pass game. They can win it up front. And then defensively, they do so many good things with their front, and they can get after you. And there's a lot of different guys that can sack the quarterback. So that is another team that I think could give Philly a run for their money if they match up.
Kurt Warner, my Hall of Fame friend from NFL Game Day Morning, Westwood One, and QB Confidential, where you can check it out on YouTube and on all social media outlets, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So watching the tape that you watch, Kurt, who is the quarterback that's seeing it, slinging it the best through 11 weeks in the NFL? What do you got for me here?
You know, I actually just tweeted it this morning.
Okay.
That C.J. Stroud is playing some really, really good football.
Look at him.
You know, I broke down just the first quarter and a half, and I had like 10 plays that I could have put on one of my YouTube videos as teaching tape.
Really?
You know, this is how you use your feet and your eyes and connect them together. This is the kind of timing you need to have on a particular throw. This is how you climb the pocket. It just so many good things that he's one guy that just jumps out at me right now, just in terms of playing inside the pocket, seeing it, processing it. So good. I think another guy is Brock Purdy. I know he took some hits a couple weeks ago when he was, throwing some interceptions. They were losing some games. But, I tweeted that this morning, too, is that he had a perfect quarterback rating this past Sunday. And I don't even think it was close to his best game this year. That, you know, I think it was kind of lower on the list of games that he's had, you know, just kind of worked out statistically that he gets a perfect rating. But he's played a lot better football than he even did this Sunday. So he's another guy that I know everybody wants to kind of knock him. Well, it's because of this. Man, you just don't play this consistently and make this many throws, and especially throws down the field, without being a really, really good quarterback. And I don't know when or what it's going to take for people to start believing that this kid is for real. And we see it each and every week. And so those are the two guys that really have jumped off the page. Obviously, different guys have flashes. I think Lamar's playing his best football. I don't think the situation around him as they build that offense is really clicking yet. So it's not as smooth as maybe it could be. But I think he's played some really, really good football too. And, you know, of course you've got, you know, Patrick, but, I talked about some of the issues that I see there. And so that's why I say just kind of across the board, start to finish, those two young guys, to me, have really jumped off the tape, showing me that they really know how to play the game.
How about that? I'm asking you, it's Thanksgiving week of 2023. Yeah. Who has been slinging it the best and seeing it and throwing it with consistency more than most? And you named the second overall pick in this year's draft and the last overall pick in last year's draft in a sports league that has just thrown one raw quarterback after another on the field 2 years in a row, Kurt. I mean, you take a look at the numbers at the quarterback spot. Last year, the most different starting quarterbacks in a single season in the history of the NFL. And I'm saying, I see it since, in 1950. I go out and say, unless, like the Canton Patroons started 10 guys 1 year. I think this is the history of the NFL right here. Yeah. And 50 different starting quarterbacks have started through 11 weeks of 2023. Jake Browning will make it 51, for instance, this coming week for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that record from last year is being threatened right now. Tim Boyle will be 52, first up on Friday for the Jets. And I'm just wondering, how you get these guys ready. There's no time. We had a conversation, right, with Mike Vrabel in London about the Tennessee Titans quarterback situation with Malik Willis and Will Levis. You know, are they ready? And this is when Tannehill was about to get injured. Nobody knew. And he's like, I don't know. So how do you see the quarterback, world right now, Kurt, where kids are all right and then mostly not?
Well, I think a big thing, and maybe, what we're seeing when I'm talking about guys like Brock Purdy and C.J. Stroud is maybe something that we're seeing is, these guys that have truly learned how to play the position and have played the position a lot, even at lower levels, how that translates to the next level. We fall so much in love with the physical aspect of things anymore. And, we look at that, man, he's got this big arm or he can run around and do this. But sometimes those guys get away with a lot more because, quite honestly, they're the best athlete on the field. And if they're not seeing it, they can run around and create a play. When you get to this level, that is a really, really hard thing to do, unless maybe you're a guy like a Kyler Murray or a guy like Lamar Jackson, who still maybe at this level are the best athlete on the field. So they have room to kind of grow through, you know, that growth period of learning more how to be a pocket passer and dissecting defenses. But that to me is, you know, when you take these guys that aren't those kind of athletes, and then, you know, just like you're talking about, you put them in and they're in a backup role, and you don't have the reps to be able to teach them, to be able to, you know, give them experience, seeing it, understanding the speed, understanding the process and you know, the difficulty of an offense in the National Football League versus an offense, you know, in college football. They just don't get the opportunity and experience to learn the game. And so Brock Purdy, you know, we can say what we want about all the physical. The guy played 4 years in college and he got a whole bunch of experience playing the game. And that's exactly what I'm seeing on the field right now. And so that to me is where it's so limited now for these guys. And I don't know how you get them ready. You know, I said this when I got cut by Green Bay way back in 94. And, you know, at the time, you know, you're crushed, you get, you know, you get cut, you were hoping to just make the squad, be the number three guy, whatever. You know, I joke all the time, from the time I was cut in 1994 until the day I retired in 2009, Brett Favre did not miss a single start in the National Football League. He didn't miss a single start. So had I made it with the Packers, I would have been that guy. I would have been the guy sitting on the bench, hoping to get a few reps in preseason every single year, but never getting any reps to be able to get better. I got cut. I went and played in arena football for 3 years. I played in Europe for a year. I got so many reps of playing the game and experiencing the game and experiencing all situations of football that when I came back in 99, I was so seasoned as a quarterback and ready to step in and play, where these guys that we're talking about that find themselves in a backup role for a year, for 2 years, having not played really any football outside of a little bit of preseason, you know, how do you get them ready? You know, how are they prepared for all the stuff the NFL is going to throw at them? And I think that's what we're seeing. A few weeks ago, I was watching tape, and the thing that jumped off the page was I was watching some of these backups play. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh my gosh, the cavity between a starting quarterback in the National Football League and a backup quarterback just was so big when I watched these guys play that you start to appreciate those, you know, however many guys that is, 22, 23, 25 guys in the world that are starting quarterbacks in the National Football League, because they're different than everyone else. You know, so I think that's part of it too, is it's just different to be at that level. But the second thing is, with all the rule changes and everything now, no, you know, developmental leagues, you know, that was the thing. I was signed by the Rams, was able to go over to Amsterdam and play and get experience. That it really is hard to get those guys reps and to truly have someone ready to step in, you know, because you look at the Bengals, who were hot, right? They're trying to make a run to the playoffs. And all of a sudden you plug somebody in and play that hasn't played any football. So even if they're eventually good enough, how long does it take them mm-hmm. to get up to speed? You know, because you lose two or three games right off the bat, you're done. You're out of it. And, you know, so it is such a tough, tough thing. And I don't know what the answer is, you know, to be able to get these guys ready and get them prepared. So whether he's a young guy that they want to eventually take over for the team, or just a backup that's got to step in and play because we're seeing so many starting quarterbacks get injured, I don't know how you prepare them to be ready to go when they step between those lines.
And I know you're in the booth, you know, Monday night, calling Chiefs and the Eagles, and then traveling. I don't know if you saw Tom Brady's conversation with Stephen A. Smith on Stephen A.'s show, where he said that the football in today is mediocre. It's a mediocre product. And I think you're kind of touching on that a little bit here, the delta yeah. between starting quarterback and backup quarterback. When you played, when I was growing up, the backup quarterback was a seasoned veteran, you know, with a ton of time, most often than not. Now it's just a kid that makes less because of the salary cap, that doesn't get in, you know, time in the offseason because it's legislated out. They can't enter the building until a certain time. They don't get reps on the amount of reps that people are allowed to have. The developmental leagues are gone, and they're the ones who are throwing guys not open. They're throwing guys into coverage. And then guys are getting blown up by defensive players who get fined and flagged for playing football because the quarterback and the offensive player doesn't know, don't go there. You know, pre-snap, the defense is telling you, don't go there. Don't throw it there. I think this is all mixed together here, Kurt. You know?
There's no question. And, you know, I have lots of theories on lots of different things that, you know, in this world of football, we've got a lot more what I call pure progression type systems. And so what is a pure progression type system? It's a system that's set up where you get a play and the coach basically tells you, you're going to read it the exact same way, pure progression. This guy, the X receiver's number one, the Y receiver's number two, the Z receiver's number three. Doesn't matter what the coverage is. That's how you're going to read it. And you're going to look at that receiver. And if that receiver's open, throw it to him. And if he's not open, then move to the next guy. Now, I understand the theory behind it. The theory is now I can take these young quarterbacks that don't get a lot of reps, don't get a chance to see defenses, and I can plug them in and boom, they know the read's just 1, 2, 3, 4. They don't have to worry about anything. They just read it through. Or we've got a great athlete at the college level and we want to play him early. So he hasn't learned all the nuances. So let's put him in a pure progression system and he's just got to look and see if a guy's open, throw it to him. I think that's one of the most detrimental things for quarterbacks because you're not teaching them truly how to play the position. When you play the position, in my opinion, you let the defense dictate where you're going with it. So I don't want to ever look at my receiver and have to decide, is he open or is he not open? Is there enough space for me to throw it or not? I want to be able to look at a defender and go, okay, is that defender covering the deep receiver or the short receiver? And once I know that, I want to be able to get the ball out of my hand. So I'm reading both one and two at the same time where another quarterback has to go one, see if he's open, go to two, and it slows the process down. And a lot of what you're talking about becomes when you're leading guys into coverage or you're throwing them, you know, into defenders, it's simply because these guys are going, well, is he open or is he not open? I think there's enough space. Let me fit it in there, as opposed to kind of what Tom Brady's talking about and how he played the game. I'm going to let the defense dictate it. So if a defender's sitting there, I know I can't throw it there, and I move on to the next guy right now. And so there's all kinds of things that I think are going on in the league to try to say, okay, we got to get these young guys ready, and we got to get them on the field, and we got to figure out how to have success. And ultimately, those are the things, in my opinion, that are hurting these guys because it's not truly teaching them, even if we say that's at the college level. It's not truly teaching them how to play the position. So when they maybe make that transition to the NFL and they have to play the position, they don't know how. They're not ready to do it. And now they have to get up to speed against the best players in the world and the best schemes in the world. And it's why you see, you know, so many of these guys struggle. And again, the guys that can survive, you know, again, I'll use Kyler Murray as a guy here that's still learning how to play the position, but because he's such a gifted athlete and such a gifted thrower, he gets a little bit more time because he can create and do things that nobody else can do. So he buys himself extra time being successful with those other traits while he learns the game. But then there's a guy like me, I got no chance. I either have to know how to play the game or I am going to be swallowed up by this league. And I think that's what we see. You know, look at Zach Wilson, right? We've talked about him a lot. Yes. You being a Jets fan, you know, he didn't play a lot in college. He's still learning how to play the game. He's got all these expectations because he was the number two pick overall, and he's not ready yet. He's not ready to play the game and to see it and to understand it yet. Doesn't matter. He's in there. So we expect him to have to play at that level. And you know, you try to do some of this stuff. Okay, we're just going to give you pure progression stuff to give you a chance. And ultimately, it hurts them because I'm sitting here waiting to see if this guy is going to be open. Then by the time I get to the next guy or the next guy, I'm getting hit in the face. We're not blocking anybody. I've got absolutely no chance to play the game where you have to play it faster. So I have a lot of theories.
Yes.
But to Tom Brady's point, you know, I think some of those theories lend itself to so many of these guys not truly understanding how to play the position, and it's leading to really, really bad football.
Great ball talk. Have a great Thanksgiving with Brenda and your fam, and we'll see you soon. You take care.
All right, you too, my man.
There's the one and only Kurt Warner. Great chat. Love talking ball with him. When we come back, Bill Belichick's back from his bye. Who's the quarterback there? Oh, boy.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was just terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen. Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes
as
for
it should.
Years.
You guys ruined that.
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I didn't know. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Fantastic. Mooch is on What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask later today. Get it wherever you get your podcasts and on our YouTube page as well. Great chat with Kurt Warner, man. Oof. And so the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots this week could be Mac Jones again, who has the most experience, obviously, and has just totally regressed since his first stellar rookie season. And it was stellar. It really was.
It's good.
And playoff appearance, Pro Bowl spot, doing the gritty in Vegas, having fun, being Mac Jones, jerseys being sold everywhere, and then the roof is caved in. Bailey Zappe, who got the gig at the worst possible time last week, needing to get a touchdown with hardly any time left, fake spike interception, three words I didn't think I would say that day in Germany, or is it Will Greer? Ton of experience in West Virginia, but not since then.
Nope.
All right, Bill Belichick. The floor is yours.
Bill, has a decision been made on the starting quarterback for this weekend?
Yeah, I've told all the players the same thing. Be ready to go. So, hopefully, they will be.
Have you made a decision on the starting quarterback regardless of what you said?
I've told everybody to be ready to go.
Have you given any thought to having a few different players play quarterback on Sunday, the kind of thing where you might sort of mix guys in depending on the situations?
Yeah, I've told all the players to be ready to go.
Apparently, he said he's told everyone to be ready to go eight times in the interview, in the session. Oh, we just showed you three. Jeez. Hey, listen, man, they're out of options there. They have three. There's really none right now. I mean, Mac Jones, Bill had to. I totally understand why he pulled him. I mean, he had one touchdown in the end zone, overthrew him, should have been picked, wasn't. One touchdown for the guy in the end zone, totally underthrew him.
Yeah. He's a broken player.
And Bailey Zappe is definitely, by the way, when I saw him on the field, I think Bryce Young's taller than him.
Than Zappe?
Yeah. He didn't strike me as very tall.
Great.
And then I don't know if that's a measure that really matters anyway.
The only thing that matters, Rich, is losing game on Sunday. All that matters. Lose.
So the out. Giants. The
Let's
Giants.
Go 2-15.
That's not what Belichick's about. Nor the Patriots. They want to win every game, man. I got the sense they are done with this.
Great. Let's start winning in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Lose the rest of this year. Get that one of these kids and let's rock and roll into the future.
I think they want to win them out, buddy.
Well, that's insane. And that would do nothing but piss off the fan base. Nobody wants that.
So you will sit there and you'll be happy watching them lose and play terribly and having the brand just everybody's brand.
The brand?
Everybody's brand.
The brand's taking a hit. There's six banners up there,
the
man.
The Kraft brand, the
Absolutely
Belichick
not.
Brand.
No brand is taking a hit.
You think Bill wants to have a 2-15 season on his record?
Who cares?
Okay. He does.
Didn't Jimmy Johnson go 1-15?
Well, that was at the beginning of a tenure.
Worked out.
Yeah, he's going to be in the Ring of Honor now.
Worked out.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want Bill to get the losses record before he gets the wins record?
Nah.
Great. You know who has the most interceptions in NFL history? Brett Favre. He's got a bust.
As Bill will one day.
Bill's getting a bust.
I get it.
He doesn't need to do anything else.
I think it's going to be Mac Jones. How do you like that? I think it's going to be Mac again.
And that's fine. He stinks. That ensures a loss on Sunday.
I don't know about that, bud. I don't know about that.
Tommy DeVito is
coming up. You know, I got to be honest with you. I think it's going to be Mac, and I think it's...
Quick, short leash.
Or is it Will Greer? I don't Why not give him a whirl?
Where's Malik Cunningham?
Well, I think that was just one... Like, they signed him to a 3-year deal, right? And then they cut him? Is he back on the practice squad?
I think he's on the practice squad.
We didn't have any. Like, we had. Let me tell you what. Who didn't get brought up in our pre-broadcast meeting before Patriots and Colts? That he. Well, I mean.
Yeah,
wasn't going to just share what his thoughts on Malik Cunningham. We had to ask him about him.
Understood.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it'll be Will Greer because I mean Zappe is just not going
to
be.
No, absolutely not. I mean, if they really want to try to win the game,
which they do, I'm telling
then
you.
Then throw
you
Will
keep
Greer
saying
out there.
That. You keep
I'm just
saying
the
that.
Fans do not want it.
And I
wins.
Understand what the reality is on the ground.
Yeah, the fans do not
right?
want more.
The
wins.
Reality is on the ground. Is that the Kraft want W's, the Krafts want W's, and Bill wants W's, and they're working towards W's. Now, not working towards having the most amount of losses to threaten Carolina's final record on behalf of the Bears. They're not doing that.
What does going 6-11 do this year?
Better in their minds than 2-15. There's nobody in that building at one Patriot place saying, how can we lose the most? None of them. Sorry to tell you.
Deep down, they know it's the truth, though, and they should do it.
Sorry to tell you, though, the reality. Nick Kyrgios coming up.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azerrad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.